everybody. Welcome back to In My Non-Expert Opinion. I'm your host, Chelsea Reif, and I'm a podcast strategist who helps people launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts. I'm also a writer, and I recently launched a Substack called Slight Turbulence, so go check that out in the link in my show notes if you want to hear all about my 10-plus years of globetrotting. All right, today we have a quickie solo episode about how to audit your time and get more back. This is the number one thing that everyone keeps asking me about is, how are you traveling and running a business and your podcast and having a social life? It's because I know how to use my time the same way someone knows how to budget really well. I can like budget my time out accordingly to how I want to spend it. So I think the first thing that you need to know when you're auditing your time is, what do you value and wish you were spending more time on? And what are you not loving doing and wish you were spending less time on? I think that's a really good journal prompt to think about. Once you have that, those are kind of your North Stars that you can guide your time towards. So for me, I realized there was a period where all my time was just going to work. Like on the weekends, I would work late, I would wake up and start working. And I like my work, right? I'm very creatively fulfilled by my work. And I know it can sound a little like trite or cheesy, but I do feel like I'm someone that is fortunate enough to have a job that I love where it doesn't always feel like work. However, I realized I was sacrificing a lot of friendships and relationships, and I was like, I need more free time to be able to go to dinners that people are inviting me to, or to take that weekend trip with someone or do something like that. Now, it never got to a point where I would completely put that aside, but it was noticeable enough where I just realized one time, like, I feel like I haven't seen my friends in a long time and I haven't really like talked to anybody in a while. And so I noticed you need to start looking at your time and seeing like what you're spending it on, because I do have the freedom to choose my own time. So why am I not spending it with people that I want to spend it with? So once I got clear on my values, I realized I highly value leisure, comfort, creativity, curiosity and exploration, friendships and relationships. So now that I have those North Stars, I can look at my time and try to block it according to those pillars. In order to understand where your time is going, you need to track it. You can do this by using an actual timer like on your phone and seeing how long things take. So let's say you're like, I'm going to write an email newsletter. Literally hit the start on the stopwatch. And when you're done writing it, hit stop and see how long that took you and log it somewhere. So you know, okay, wow, I thought this was going to take me 20 minutes and it took me 90. That's something I need to take into account, that I cannot be trying to do a million things in one day if I'm taking 90 minutes to do a newsletter. You can also use FocusMate. I am obsessed with this software. You get to co-work with someone for 25, 50, or 75 minutes. I like to choose 25 minutes because I very much believe in Parkinson's law, where time expands to fit the allotted time that you gave it. So if I give myself 25 minutes to write a newsletter, I will probably get it done in 25 minutes versus I give myself 75 minutes, then I will give myself 75 minutes. So I like to use FocusMate because it shows me how fast or slow I'm being, and I can be more realistic when I'm planning out my tasks. So before FocusMate, I would just be like, oh, let me just try to do all 25 tasks this week every day, and what I don't get to, I'll move to the next day. And now with FocusMate, I'm like, well, you know that this thing is going to take only 25 minutes, so plug that in the morning because you can just knock it out, versus later in the day, you have all these calls, so you can't do that. So FocusMate helped me a lot. Time blocks on my Google Calendar also helped. So literally putting 3 to 5 p.m. money meeting with myself. I need to go look at my business expenses. I need to see what I'm spending. I need to just kind of recalibrate. Or 1 to 3 p.m. is podcast recording. So I can start to see, did it take me that amount of time or did I need more time? Now, once you start tracking it, you want to be able to log it and visually see it and start to plan your day accordingly. Because now you have a piece of data, right? In order to make changes, this is my opinion, you need to understand what was point A and what needs to happen to get to point B. So if you're just logging things like, oh, it took me 25 minutes to write a newsletter, but it took me 90 minutes to record a podcast, and you just keep that in your head, it's not going to be helpful when you try to make actual changes. So try to log that in Notion or a notes app or even a planner and being like, okay, wow, I actually can only do like 3 tasks a day, not 10. And then you can start to plan your day accordingly. I would also say to note the energy that comes up with these tasks and start tracking that too. So the way my Notion works right now is I have it set up where I guesstimate essentially if I think it's going to take me 25, 50, or 75 minutes. And that's because I use FocusMate religiously. So that's how I like think in terms of task time. And then I have little fire flames that shows me how much energy I think it's going to be. So if it's very low energy, like it's going to take me 2 minutes or less, it's 1 fire sign. If it's something that I'm like, okay, it's not that hard, but it's probably going to take me more than like 30 minutes. It's probably going to go into like two fire signs. If it's a meeting or a webinar or something where I have to actively be speaking, I usually move it to like three or four fire signs. And if it's something that I just know is going to take a long time and I don't like doing it, like for me, updating SEO on my website, for example, to me, I find that to be just like long and annoying and I don't love doing it, but I know it's imperative. I'll put that usually in like the four fire flame sign. So now when I plan my day, I start to work backwards and plan my day according to not only just the time, but the energy. So here's how I do it. I brain dump all the tasks I can think of that I think need to get done that week or the next week. So don't really hold back here. I used to try to be like, oh, here's what I think I could get done this week, and maybe this will take longer. And I just realized it all needs to get out on paper so I don't freak out. Every time I have any type of panic attack or get overwhelmed, it's because it's living in my head and I haven't brain dumped it. So get all your tasks out on paper, then assign them the energy levels and then the time that you think it's going to take. After that, you can start assigning due dates. But here's the kicker. You want to plug in your values too so you can see if you're living in alignment with your values. You can do this by color coding, tagging, logging them in a journal. Here's the way I do it. I make anything that I do leisurely yellow. Anything that is for my health or support, whether that's therapy or lifting weights or yoga, goes in green. Anything creative for the podcast goes in purple. Anything that is like deep work goes in deep blue, so on and so forth, right? Now, I also consider things like walking in the park, yoga classes, coffee dates. Those to me are helping my creativity. Like I am able to speak on a podcast and do the things that I'm doing because I went and took the walk in the park or went on a coffee date to stimulate my brain, etc. So do not put those things last. I think everyone should read 4,000 Weeks as their new Bible. I'm not kidding. It's my new favorite book. I really want the author on this podcast. One of the methodologies he describes in there is the same way profit first encourages you to pay yourself first when you get paid, do that with your creative tasks. So pay yourself first creatively, then go work on all your other client stuff and deadlines and due dates and blah, blah, blah. So for me, in the morning, as soon as I wake up, I try to read a chapter of a book or read for 20 minutes, and then I'll do writing. I'll usually write 750 words with the software called 750 words. Then I will make my bed, tidy my room, go make myself breakfast, chill out, maybe meditate, maybe go for a walk, get a coffee, and then I will start my tasks. I do not do it the other way. The way I did it in corporate America was wake up, rush, get a Starbucks on the way, drink the Starbucks up the elevator, go to work, sprint, open my laptop, work, and then hopefully if I wasn't tired, I could like go to a yoga class at night and maybe meet up with a friend for dinner. This is how you burn out because you're not paying yourself creatively first, right? You're not living in alignment with your values. I'm using the word creatively, but you can exchange this for anything, whether that's comfort, leisure, relaxation. Maybe your mornings you want to use to research a subject. Maybe your mornings are your exploration time. And so you go to a museum and then you start working. Whatever it is, this is your life. You can flip all these models around, the times of day, whatever. But my point is to not just think of everything as the time it takes to do it, but also think about what values is it aligned with and how much energy is it taking or giving me. I find this all way easier to do with a software like Notion because then you can see if you're being realistic with your commitments. I try to do one leisurely or creative thing a day, and I plug that into my calendar when I do my weekly planning. I usually do a weekly planning session with Pretty Decent, Lexi Merritt. She does one on Mondays, and I use that time to go through a template, and I try to plug in my entire day, including free time, breaks, dates, therapy, yoga, whatever, and then I adjust each block after the activity is done to try and gauge how long it really took me. What I mean is like when I'm doing the weekly planning session, I'll say, okay, right now I'm recording podcasts from 1 to 3 p.m. I know at 3 p.m. I'm not going to immediately go to my next task, right? I have to get back home. I want to make lunch and I want to kind of set myself up for my next task. So I blocked an hour off between now and my next task as like lunch and free time. Then if I find out maybe that's going to take longer, I need to adjust it after so I can see visually, okay, yeah, getting home from the podcast studio and creating and making your lunch doesn't take 30 minutes. It actually takes an hour and a half. So I always adjust my blocks after I'm done with them to see if I'm being realistic or not. And visually, I have my Google Calendar set up on the week view. So it's just really easy for me to see what my days and weeks are going to look like. Now, if you're a visual person like me and you're color coding like me, it's even easier to see how you're living in alignment with your values and setting up your time. For example, if I see a lot of yellow and green, that's usually a good sign that I'm being leisurely and taking care of my health because those are my color-coded blocks. If I see everything's in like dark blue or red, which is usually like admin time and work time, then that means it's just a really busy work week and I'm probably not doing the best job of taking care of myself because I know myself, and when I don't give myself my mornings off, I'm probably going to burn out. So that's why I intentionally, when I'm weekly planning, I don't just plug in tasks and work stuff. I make sure to plug in all my fun, silly downtime, naps, whatever. I plug that in my calendar as if it was a meeting or a task. I also pay for Google Suite and I can see my time insights. So literally on my calendar, it will say show time insights. And because I tagged everything, it will literally tell me like leisure, 11 hours, writing, 3 hours, podcasting, 4 hours. I'm like, this is really cool because I don't have to guess. It just shows me exactly how I'm spending my time. I would also recommend that you do a weekly review at the end of the week or first thing Monday morning to see how it went. So what did you do well? What would you change? What do you think you want to take into this week so you can optimize? If you don't do a review, then it kind of just feels like you're floating around and you have nothing to measure. You're like, I don't really know if I made progress or not. Like, I feel like I did because I color coded it. But if you don't do that review, then you can't look back and be like, oh, wait, actually, that whole day at the park, I spent 3 hours there. Yeah, I need to update that. That was a 3 hour leisurely block, not a 1 hour one that I predicted. So this is really cool that I'm getting to see that I optimize my time for my values. You're going to have to keep tweaking and experimenting this, right? You have to make it work for you. No one else's way is going to work for you. Everything I just said might not make sense for you. I have the advantage of being pretty much 6 to 8 hours ahead of most of my clients because of the way I travel. So I don't feel that pressure in the morning that I used to feel in corporate America, where I was like, oh my God, the whole world is online, right? Everyone in my community, everyone on Slack, everyone is online at 9 a.m. I have to be online. I would start to feel really guilty. So I would use my whole day to work and then use my evenings as like free time. That might work better for you based on your lifestyle. You might have a partner, a work schedule where you actually have to work a night shift. So again, I don't want you to just take what I said and copy and paste it. You need to make it work for you. One of my clients keeps their schedule completely free outside of their one-on-ones. They do 3 one-on-one calls back to back during the day, and then the rest of their day has complete white space, and they're always creating or playing. They're writing, they're out doing an activity, a physical activity, they're going on dates with their partner. Like, it is completely free, which I just love that example. Now, personally, I wouldn't like doing that, right? I hate back-to-backs. I don't like my morning calls, and that just wouldn't work for me. So that's an example of someone where I admire and respect that they built their calendar like that, but I know my energy, and I know I for sure cannot talk to one-on-one back-to-back-to-back 3 times a row, 5 times a week. So this is what I mean. You need to customize it and make it work for you. Now, here's how my setup works. If you are interested, if you want to use this as like a template and then tweak it, Monday for me is admin day, where I do a little bit of planning and life admin. So this is when I go do laundry, I get my nails done, I'm running errands. That's like Monday. I also do my weekly planning, and I'll start to do like a little bit of work in terms of like either clearing my inbox or just planning out what I think the week is going to look like. Tuesday through Thursday is complete client communication, collaborations, and podcast stuff. So basically Tuesday through Thursday for me is like a lot of talking and a lot of Zooming. I know I'm doing meetings with clients, consulting, I'm recording podcasts, I'm meeting with people about collaborating. That's my Tuesday through Thursday. Then Friday is off, and I use that day either to catch up or do creative stuff. So usually Friday is like a wild card day for me. Like, I'll sometimes sleep in and do whatever I want and be like, I'm not even opening my laptop today. I'm going to go like to the park and then a museum and go on an ice cream date by myself. I don't even know. Where sometimes I'm like, you know what? I'm going to use this whole day to get ahead with my podcast and my Substack. So I'm going to edit all day and go to a cute cafe and then be done with work by 4 and maybe meet friends for dinner. Friday is open for wild card day on purpose. So I know that Fridays are always different. Some of the tools I use include FocusMate, which I have talked about religiously. You can also listen to the founder on this podcast. I'll link the episode in the show notes. It is my favorite software on planet Earth. I use Google Calendar and I color code it. I use Notion, and I definitely use a paper planner. I am a Virgo moon and Virgo rising. I like mise en place. I like checking things off. I like to see the progress I'm making. So even though I have everything on my Notion to-do list, color-coded, tagged, energy levels, I take it a step further and I have my paper planner as well. And my paper planner kind of evolves every day, but I usually write what I want to do that day and get done. And then I'll also do a self-acknowledgement exercise where I'll give myself credit for all the things I accomplished that are not just filled with work, but things that I wanted to do personally. Like I gave someone a compliment, or I covered the Uber that day, or whatever it is, right? Like it's just kind of tracking the person I want to be. And I also do gratitude in there too. So I know it can be a little bit eccentric and a little all over the place. I don't recommend that everyone does this. I, again, really think you need to make a system that works for you. But once you understand where your time is going and how to use it, you can then tweak it and start living in alignment fully with your values. All right, that was it. Short and sweet. I hope you loved this episode. Let me know what you think. You can tag me on Instagram stories at Chelsea Reif, DM me over there at Chelsea Reif. You can email me info@chelseareif.com. And if you want to learn how to podcast, be sure to join Mic Drop. It's the ultimate podcast launch course. We have monthly Q&A calls as well as a Slack channel, so you can join us at any point. And be sure to check out my Substack if you want to read about why I dated someone 9 years younger than me, or my obsession with the ocean, or why I think Europeans have so much swag. Then Substack is the place to find that content. And again, I will link all this in the show notes. Just a reminder before we go, if you leave a review on Apple Podcasts, I will enter you into a giveaway to win the Pitch Yourself as a Guest Mastermind, which you will learn exactly what it says. You will learn the exact skills needed to position yourself for pitches to be on other people's podcasts, to teach inside their memberships, to go teach at a co-work space. Once you master this skill, I am telling you, you will be unstoppable. So if you want to win this for free, all you have to do is go to Apple Podcasts, find my show, scroll down to this section where it says write a review, write your review, screenshot that, and send it to info@chelseareif.com or DM me at Chelsea Reif on Instagram. I will pull a winner at the end of the month. Now, if you don't win, know that this course exists already on my website, chelseareif.com, as well as others about monetizing, interviewing, and launching. So be sure to check that out as well if you want to improve any of those skills. Thanks so much for tuning into this very quick episode. I'm Chelsea Reif. This is In My Non-Expert Opinion, and I'll see you next week.